The beginning of New Year is always a great opportunity to stop and to evaluate our lives. And if you work in a business, many times a business will evaluate what happened in the year before. What significant went on? What do we need to improve? What was good? What do we look for in the year in front of us? And as we have, as individuals, have stepped across the threshold into 2007, it's always helpful for us to stop and to evaluate in our own lives, what are we doing? Where are we going? What is our purpose? Because we really only have one shot at this thing of living our life right before God. We don't really have opportunities to go back and say, let me try that again. We're grateful for the forgiveness that God gives to us, but life and its purpose is very important. So what is your purpose in life? Why are you existing on planet Earth? How will you know if your life has been successful? It makes no difference if you're in middle school or high school, or maybe you've graduated, you're in college, or you've stepped out of college and you're beginning to work dimension. Maybe you're in young 20s or 30s, or maybe you're midlife someplace, or maybe you're on the other side. And you begin to wonder, what is the purpose and what am I supposed to be doing with my life now? Sadly, there are many individuals who really don't know the answer to that question. And yet it is a crucial question. Now, quite a few years ago, there was a Scotsman who came over to America to introduce the game of golf to President Ulysses Grant. The Scotsman got down and took the golf ball and carefully placed it on the tee. Then he got out one of his clubs and he swung savagely at the ball and missed the ball, but hit the turf, scattering dirt all over the place and even onto President Grant's beard. Somewhat chagrined, the Scotsman looked at the president and said, I'll try again. And he did. He tried again with the exact same result. And after about the six tries, the President Grant looked at the Scotsman and said, you know, there seems to be a fair amount of exercise in this game, but I fail to see the purpose of the ball. And sometimes as we go through life, it seems that we may be swinging wildly at life, but we've missed the purpose of it. What's the significance of it? Why has God placed us here? How will we know that we've been successful? That great philosopher, Yogi Berra, said, if you don't know where you're going, you're likely to end up someplace else. And so in life, we need to know, where are we headed? What is our purpose? What's the significance of our life? A couple of years ago, an individual was doing street interviews of folks who walked down the road, and as he would interview the passing pedestrians, he asked this question, what is your purpose in life? One person said, I can't say that I know the purpose. I think that after I die, I'll find out what my purpose in life is. Don't you think that's a little late? Another one was asked the same question, a similar answer. I think my purpose is, I don't really know. Other individuals who were asked the same question said, my purpose is to have fun, my purpose is to be happy, my purpose is to make a lot of money, my purpose is, and you can fill in the blank. Dear friend, God has given to us the purpose in life, our reason for existence, the reason why He has granted to us even the days that we have experienced thus far. And as we look into 2007, God has given to us the purpose of our life. And He uses the analogy of a race, of a runner in a race, that you and I are like runners in a race, and this isn't a sprint. This is long distance. It might be like cross country, or it might be a marathon, but it's long distance, and that we will not be successful by accident. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, as we look at the purpose that God has for you as an individual, why He has granted to you the opportunities in the year ahead. Philippians chapter 3. What Paul says in this section is that living on purpose is really, it means intentionally running our race. that running this race that God has granted to us, we need to do it by way of intention. It's not by accident. And as we look at this particular passage, we'll notice two things. First of all, we need to make sure that we run the right race. And secondly, we need to make sure that we run with the right strategy. Both of those are important to successfully win a race. So first of all, let's see and what Paul has to say about running the right race. First of all, Paul says when we run the right race, we need to make sure we're on the right course, and we need to make sure we finish. When I was in high school, I mentioned this before, we were forced to be part of the cross-country team. If you wanted to play basketball, you had to run cross-country. Now, the coach said that the reason for that was because he thought it was helpful for us to get in shape, and I really think the reason was that if they didn't do that, they wouldn't have had a cross-country team. And there were a few things that we learned as we ran across the rolling hills of Kansas and ran through some of the thickets and some of the woods that were out there. There would be the course that would be marked. There were certain markings on the trees and across the rolling hills of what the right course was. And the fact is, if you didn't run the right course, you were disqualified. If you got off the course, if you intentionally took a corner too short, or if you missed it by accident, if you didn't run the right course, you were disqualified. Secondly, we also learned that you needed to finish. You needed to cross the finish line. You needed to cross the right finish line. So Paul, in this section, tells us that we need to make sure that we are running the right course. Paul says this in verse 10, that his course, the course that God has for him and for you and for me, is this: that I may know Him, that I may know Jesus Christ, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to the image of His death. And then you go on to verse 12, Paul says, it's not that I have arrived, in the middle of verse 12, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. That the purpose in our course in life is not to develop a successful company. That may be a leg of the race. It is not to turn out a nice family. That might be part of the race. It isn't the fact to make sure that when we retire we have significant funds to have a nice portfolio. That might be part of the race. But that is not the overarching goal or purpose of our life or purpose of our race. Our race is to know Jesus Christ, to grow in our knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. That is why Jesus came down into our world, why He died on the cross, why He offers to you and to me eternal life, is so that we might know Him. And that's what Paul says in verse 10, that I may know the power of His resurrection. Now, we like that part of it, don't we? You know, we like to see God at work. We like to see great things that have happened. We like to see answers to prayer. Those are good things. But what's the next phrase? And the fellowship of what? Suffering. Sometimes in life, God allows suffering in our lives so that He might draw us closer to Himself. Our race has good days. And our race has days that we would say they're tough. You know, it's nice to go out and run outside when it's 70 degrees in January. But when it's icy and cold and dark, it's not much fun running, is it? And yet, oftentimes, that's part of our race too. And so Paul says we need to make sure that we are on the right course. It isn't a course of amassing great amounts of stuff, of just having fun in the moment. Our course is the purpose to know Jesus Christ. And that knowledge there isn't a matter of merely intellectual ideas. As if we could say, well, you know, there's some things I know about Christ. I know that He's the second person of the Godhead. I know that He's sinless. I know that He died on the cross. I know that He rose again. I know that He lived here on earth 2,000 years ago. It's not merely just being able to list off a number of intellectual things. It is developing in our relationship a personal relationship with Christ. That I know Him better in 2007 than I did in 2006. It's a process. And that knowledge of who Christ is becomes the focal point and becomes our purpose in life. That's why we were created. That's why you were created. To have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. So we need to make sure that we're running the right course. We need to make sure also that we complete the race. And Paul refers to that in verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, so that I might finish the race, that I might cross the finish line. So we need to run the right race. The goal of your race is to know Jesus Christ more fully. Say, well, what's the strategy? I mean, if you run a race, you need to have a strategy. You need to understand how you plan to win this race, and that's important. And Paul says there are two aspects or two elements to the strategy. First of all, there's a negative, and secondly, there's a positive. Well, what's the negative? Paul says this, the thing, we need to let go of the past. Some of you probably are runners. You enjoy it. We didn't, but you might. If I'm chasing a ball, that's a little different story. But there needs to be a strategy, and you realize if you watch a runner that they don't run looking back over their shoulder. They may take a quick look to see where somebody is, but they don't spend a great deal of time focusing on the past. Do they? If they do, they're going to trip and fall. Folks, in our lives, we need to let go of the past. There may be things in the past. There may be successes. There may be good things. There may be great achievements. Maybe you finished high school at top of the list in your class, or you received some athletic honors in high school. We can't keep thinking about those. There's life in front of us. I understand that Bruce Springsteen wrote a song entitled Glory Days. And basically it's talking about what life was like back in high school, the good old glory days. And he talks about how grown older and they sit around telling boring stories of the glory days. I remember when. And there are people who live in the past. You know, I had the privilege of leading someone to Christ 5 years ago. I really developed my relationship and my walk with Christ 10 years ago. You know, I spent time reading and I really felt I grew. We can't stay back there. We cannot live with the successes of the past. You may have grown in your relationship with Christ in 2006, and that's great. We've got a year in front of us. So we cannot hang on to the successes of the past. Paul says that in verses 7 and 8. For whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as trash or rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. You look at the life of the Apostle Paul, it wasn't because he was washed up that he decided to follow Jesus Christ. He was at the pinnacle of success. He had gone to the right school. You remember, he'd sat at the feet of Gamaliel, be like Harvard or Princeton or Oxford. You know, he had the degree, he had the diploma from the right school. He was very prestigious. He had risen to a significant element of success in his day. And when Christ called him, he said, I was willing to leave all of that and follow Jesus because that is the main call. That is the main race. If Paul would have chased all of those old things, he would have missed finishing and completing his race. He would have run in the wrong race, been disqualified. So we need to leave behind the successes of the past. We need to understand that life is a journey. This relationship with Christ is a journey. We're not going to achieve it down here. Paul himself said, I haven't arrived yet. I'm still running. There's a second thing we need to let go of, and that's failures and negative events of the past. Let go of the failures of the past. Maybe personal failures. Or maybe as you look at 06, you see some things and say, man, I really messed up. I really got tripped up. That really sidelined me. Well, I'll tell you what, confess it before Christ and start on in 07. Don't keep living in the past, even with the failures. Any of you who play sports understand that it's important to forget about the mistakes of the past quarter, or the past shot, and continue playing on into the future. One of the things is we're involved in coaching in tennis. Sometimes you could watch one of the players made a mistake and maybe didn't hit the right shot, made the wrong choice, and they continue to make wrong choices because they're still living in the past. Instead of forgetting it, you've heard coaches, hey, shake it off. Right? Friends, shake off the past. God will forgive you and start on a future. Don't get stuck in the failures of the past. Sometimes individuals get stuck in the failures of past individuals that they've come across. I've heard 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds say something like, well, you know, I really haven't been able to really walk with Christ because my parents didn't raise me right. They didn't help me right. My dad didn't treat me right. My mother didn't treat me right. They didn't help. And they're stuck in the past because of what they feel is a failure on the part of someone. You remember the story of Joseph, Old Testament? Joseph, as a young man, had some brothers, and Joseph had been, God had revealed to him that he was going to have a place of prominence in a government, didn't tell him which one, and Joseph began sharing that with his brothers, and his brothers, who were jealous, said, hey, let's kill him. Not exactly a loving family, somewhat dysfunctional, wouldn't you think? Let's kill him. And that was their plan until there came along a band and they say, hey, let's not kill him. There's no money in that. Let's sell him. Let's sell him to somebody else and we can make some money and we'll tell Dad that an animal killed our brother and we'll have covered ourselves and plus we're a little richer and we'll be in good stead. And that's what happened. And they sold Joseph to a band that was heading down to Egypt. They got down to Egypt and Joseph began. He didn't complain about the past. He didn't get stuck in the past. He didn't deserve it yet. He said, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And he rose to a place of position and power in Potiphar's household. And he was in charge of everything that Potiphar had. And you remember Mrs. Potiphar made some false accusations about Joseph trying to come on to her. And as a result of that, Joseph is thrown in prison. Folks, you don't get any lower than a slave in prison in a foreign country. That's the bottom of the pit. And Joseph could have sat there and licked his wounds and said, this is not really where I belong. I didn't deserve this. I don't. God, you know, you failed me, all this. If you recall what happened, you say, hey, God's got me here for a reason. There are some things that God can teach me through the failures, not only of my life, but of maybe family and friends around me. He was released from prison. He ended up being second in command in all of Egypt. There's a famine that covers the Palestine area. And there's food that's been stored in Egypt because God had revealed that to Joseph. And he's there and he watches as his brothers come before him. And Joseph was in disguise. He looked like an Egyptian and the brothers didn't even think he was still alive. So they had no idea that they were standing before their brother. And Joseph saw them and he said, I'm going to run a test. I'm going to see what's in their heart, see if they've learned anything. And he ran a test to determine whether or not their emotions had changed, if they'd learned something. They passed the test. And Joseph then on one day decided to reveal himself to his brothers, who he was. And when he did, and his brothers found out it was Joseph to whom they were giving account, they were terrified. Because Joseph had the power of life and death. He could have said, kill those guys. They mistreated me. Now some of you may want that power over one of your siblings, but that really doesn't work. And you remember what happened? As those brothers were petrified and they looked at Joseph and they begged for mercy. And Joseph said to them, you meant it for evil. What's the next phrase? God meant it for good. Dear friends, don't get stuck in the disappointments and failures of the past, whether it's your failure or somebody else's failure. Run your race that God has set before you. So the first aspect of the strategy is let go of the past. There's a second aspect of the strategy, which is positive. Stay focused on the finish. Stay focused on the finish. And Paul refers to that when he says, I'm grabbing a hold of that for which I was grabbed a hold of. I'm looking to the finish line. My friends, that finish line is when you and I end our earthly existence, when we finish this life. That's that line. And we need to determine, have we run a good race before God? Stay focused on the finish line. In order to stay focused, it takes discipline. And it takes determining what your priorities are. Notice what Paul said. He said, this one thing I do, verse 13. This one thing I do, not these 40 things I dabble in. Here's my focus, and here are my priorities. Jesus said to the rich young ruler who appeared to have everything, had money, had wealth, had power, prestige. And Jesus said to him, this one thing you lack. Friends, it takes discipline in our lives to understand what the priorities are of eternity. I read a story of some hunters, a group of men who decided to go hunting, and they went out and rented a lodge, and they were there, and the next day they got up early to go out hunting. And they decided they needed to pair off by twos. That's surprising, isn't it? Pair off by twos. And they decided to go out, and they went out, and everybody came back in that night. And a little bit later on, there was one individual who comes struggling back in, and he's dragging an 8-point buck that was very, very heavy. And one of the other members said, hey, where's Harry? He was with you. He went out. Oh, and he said, and the guy responded, he said, well, Harry got sick. He's a couple of miles back. And he looked at him and said, well, why'd you do that? How could you make that decision? And he said, well, you know, it was really, really very tough to make a decision like that. He said, but I figured nobody's going to steal Harry. Got his priorities wrong. Now, some of you hunters may think he got it right, but the priorities were wrong. Friends, in our lives, we need to make sure that our priorities are right, that our focus is on our race, that race of getting to know Jesus Christ. That is the purpose that God has granted to us. The opportunity of 2007 is to grow in our knowledge of who Jesus is. And that is reflected out then in our home. It is reflected out in our place of employment. It is reflected out in our school. In our families. The tragedy is to run a race, but be on the wrong course. There are some individuals who are running good races. They're doing well with their companies. Maybe it's a private individual company. They're doing very well there. Or maybe the group that they manage. Or maybe the company that they manage and sales are going up and they're doing very well. But when you come to the end of life, if that's all it is, my friend, you've run the wrong race. Because it's all left behind. Or we would say, well, you know, I'm running a good race. I'm accumulating a portfolio. One of these days I'm going to be able to retire and I'll be able to do some things I've been wanting to do. And you do well with your retirement and your investments and that's all fine and good. But you've run the wrong race when you come to the end, if that's all it is. Well, I'm going to have a good time here on the earth. I'm going to just live for the moment and enjoy stuff. And you may, but it's a wrong race. I'm going to raise my family, raise a nice family. And so you raise your family and you inculcate into them and you work with them. But if it's devoid of a knowledge of Jesus Christ, you're on the wrong course. That those things are good, but they need to be under the umbrella of the purpose of knowing and growing in our knowledge of Christ. Your purpose on planet Earth is to grow in your knowledge of Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and this is the first time you've heard about what your purpose is. You say, okay, so how do I get in the race? What do I need to do? Friend, you need to do what all of us have come to understand, that we are sinners and we are in need of a Savior. That Jesus Christ came into our world and He died on the cross to deal with your sin and mine. So that we might have stamp paid in full on our debt before God. That's the race we get in because of what Jesus has done. For some of you, maybe you started down that race, but you got distracted. Stuff of this world has kind of tripped you up. There are some things that have hindered your run. Let me encourage you, get back in the race. 2007 is in front of you. There's a God who desires to forgive you and to help you back in your race. You have friends. This race isn't something we do on our own. We run it together. though we each of us must cross the finish line. I would encourage you that as you think about this race, you understand that it's being a full-time Christian. It isn't just a Sunday morning thing. It isn't just a Wednesday night thing or an occasional thing. It's being a full-time Christian and getting and growing in our knowledge of Christ. So you say, how do you do that? Let me give you a couple of things. First of all, the strategy for doing that. Number one, if you don't spend consistent time with God, I would encourage you to do that. 20 minutes a day. Take 10 minutes and pick up a passage, a paragraph from Scripture. 10 minutes and read through it and kind of reflect on it. Say, God, what do you want to teach me from this? How can I grow in my knowledge of who Jesus is and how I can serve? And then take 10 minutes as you meditate on it to begin to prayerfully think it through in your own life and pray for some other individuals. Just 20 minutes a day. Maybe some of you do longer. That's great. Dear friends, the amount of time that you invest in getting to know someone's important, isn't it? But make it a priority. Maybe first thing in the morning, because there's a lot of stuff that can come in and we can set out with good desires, but it doesn't happen. So start with time with God consistently. Secondly, look for opportunities to serve Him at your work, at your school, in your family, among your friends, in your church. Let me challenge you to do this. Think through three individuals that you know who don't know Jesus and begin praying that they might come to know Him this year. Three individuals. Some of you, there are individuals in this church who've come to know Jesus Christ in 2006 because some individuals began to pray consistently for them. Some of them shared by way of baptism a few weeks ago. Three individuals that God would lead you to pray for, to share Christ with. Living on purpose. What is a purpose? To grow in our knowledge and in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that You desire to know us. We're not here by accident. We're not here by chance. We're not just a matter of random atoms that somehow link together to produce some sort of life. We were designed with a purpose, and that's to know You and to have a relationship with You. Not merely even a Sunday morning kind of thing, but a daily experience, and that our purpose in life, as Paul said, this one thing I do is getting to know and growing in Jesus Christ. Developing my relationship with Him and how it's lived out at work and at school and at home and in recreation. And Father, as we look at 2007, great opportunities, Lord, that are there. We look forward to feeling and experiencing the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, we understand too that there's going to be the fellowship of His suffering. Those are not accidents. Those are not random events. Those are opportunities that You've granted to us to grow in our knowledge in a different dimension of who Jesus is. And Father, I pray that each one here, that when they reflect back in a year on the events and affairs of 2007, Lord, we see it was a great year in growing to know Jesus better. Father, I pray for us as a church as we look forward to some great opportunities in front of us. Missions trip. Father, ministry in our own community here in Halfway. The lives of people. Lord, we pray that we might be about those things that are absolutely important. Because eternity is real. And it lasts forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.